get it going today. First Take, your take on this Thursday, July 2nd. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. Why everyone evaluating what's at stake in this NBA restart has been wrong. We'll get to that in just a bit. We remind you that all guests today join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. First, it's your SportsCenter headlines. Nine more NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19. This, according to a release from the NBA and its Players Association, brings the number of total positive tests by players to 25 of the 351 in the league. Meantime, the NCAA has placed Texas A&M football on probation and given head coach Jimbo Fisher a six-month show cause order that will impact recruiting. It all stems from impermissible recruiting contact with a prospect and spring and summer practice periods exceeding the allowed 7 hours. Meantime, round one play underway at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. This week's stop on the PGA Tour. 22-year-old Doc Redman shot a 7-under 65. He's tied with Scott Stallings for the overall lead. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks while saving up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. First Take, your take. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We want your participation. How should we view the eventual champion of this NBA restart? Should there be asterisk attached to this year's championship? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In my opinion, winning this restart in the NBA will be one of the toughest achievements in the history of the league. And guess what? The reigning NBA MVP feels the exact same way.
I've heard a lot of people say that there's gonna be how you guys say the start next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is gonna be the toughest like championship you could ever win. You know, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is gonna be able to go out there and take it.
The words of Buck star, reigning NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. The question the gang on First Take asked this morning was a little bit different. Will the NBA champion this year be considered legitimate? Stephen A. and Max mixed it up with the big fella, Kendrick Perkins.
The only thing that could delegitimize a championship in this particular situation is if stars end up contracting the coronavirus. Obviously, if Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, you know, a couple of those dudes on a team get the coronavirus, then obviously that incredibly compromises it. Now, you can sit up there and say that could have happened anyway because an injury could have taken place. But nevertheless, in the times that we're living in, we know that if one of them were to contract the virus, that that would be blamed for everything. And as a result, it would delegitimize a potential champion. But that's the only condition, as far as I'm concerned, under which delegitimization could take place. My mentality is simple. Without that, I'm looking at this as a blessing from the standpoint that we're going to find out what champions are made of. The season was suspended. It was never canceled, which means you always knew as an NBA player the possibility existed that you would be called back into action. Did you take care of yourself? Did you take care of your body? Did you remain in tip-top shape? Things of this nature. I heard Kendrick Perkins just alluding to this the other day, how James Harden has lost about 20 pounds, and he seems to be in the best shape of his career. We know Russell Westbrook comes out of bed ready to ball. We understand that about him. LeBron James, I don't know if anybody's known for taking care of their body better. And so when you look at it from that perspective, there's going to be a lot of guys that don't do that. They got a bit slovenly, a little bit sloppy. Their eating habits regressed to some degree. Their conditioning is compromised as a result of that. As far as I'm concerned, all of that goes in to defining what a champion is and what a champion is supposed to be made of. So the fact that this pandemic has stalled the season to some degree and has compromised guys to some degree, if you maintained focus and tenacity and all of those things that come with being a champion, okay, so long as you don't contract the virus, you should be absolutely fine. And if you are a champion at the end of the day, the last one standing, going up against dudes that didn't contract the virus, as far as I'm concerned, you're more than legitimate.
Yes, it will. I mean, look, we're talking about whoever wins this championship, this will probably be one of the greatest championships of all time, in my opinion. When you talk about what we're going through right now with the coronavirus pandemic and guys having to leave their families and everything that's going on for us in social justice. But I want to talk about how people try to sweep under the rug about not playing with fans. Fans play a huge part. When you talk about fans, it's a reason teams fight for home court advantage. They fight for it because they want to have a game seven in front of their fans, you know, at home where their fans, you know, going crazy to rooting them on to victory. How many times have we seen, you know, post game when a guy has said, you know what, without these fans tonight, we wouldn't have won this game. The fans won us this game. Or how many times we have talked about it in the media. Ooh, that's a tough environment to go play in. I'm giving this team the advantage because they're at home. And you're not playing with no fans. That's going to test your mental toughness. Also, when you're looking at what happened, like when you're on a contender, in the locker room that we always used to preach, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So that means through an 82-game season, you're trying to hit your stride, right, at the perfect time going into the playoffs. And that's what teams were doing. We were, what, 65 games into the season? And guys were finally hitting their stride and playing at a, you know, championship level. Guys were being stars in their role, and all of a sudden, it was a stoppage. It was a work stoppage, and guys had a four-month layoff, 2.5 to 3 months, where they couldn't even touch a basketball. And you know Stephen A. Smith, even as a hooper, even though you hooped in high school and you was down in New York and you was balling, shooting that jumper, you think that's so wet, but it's broke, right? You down there shooting that jump shot.
It ain't broke.
You know.
It ain't broke.
Coming back. Yeah, it is. But coming back off of a pandemic, you could run all the hills you want. You could get on the treadmill, the elliptical. Nothing gets you in basketball shape but playing basketball. And to me, I'm looking at it, guys was around. They couldn't touch a basketball. They couldn't get in the gym. And here it is. The season is about to start, and they giving you a small window of 3 weeks, 8 games, and then you're going to play at the highest level. To me, it's going to be one of the greatest championships.
So you're arguing that
all
are
adversity.
Are you saying it's not legitimate? Because you're saying that this will affect teams, like a team that has home court or built home court doesn't get the advantage of it.
No, Max. I'm telling you that the mental toughness that you're going to have going down to this bubble is different. Because when you get down 15 to 20 points, you're not going to have those fans to root you on. So are you going to dig deep as your teammates? Are you going to be able to find that same energy? That's why I'm telling you it will be one of the greatest championships because of all the adversity we're going through.
Kendrick Perkins today with Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. The question that we're asking you is a little bit different, and we'll get into it in a minute. The question is, should there be an asterisk attached to this year's championship? Not literally, but in the minds of us fans. Get on the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN. Chris from Indiana on line one. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. I think it would be ridiculous to look at this season with an asterisk. Here's the main reason, right? All of the teams have to play under the same rules. And all of the teams have to compete for that championship. Just because the rules have changed or the format has changed, why would that lessen the championship? You still did whatever was required and beat every other team. I don't see how you could put an asterisk by it. I really don't.
Chris, it's a great call. We appreciate you calling in. I'm going to admit that I have done a 180 on my position. Right? The previous weeks leading up to this discussion, I've thought, well, of course it is, right? I mean, we've had this interruption in the season. It's not a normal season. We're going to be looking at it differently.
And I've changed my opinion. We're going to be looking at it differently for the right reasons. Like the question that they asked on First Take, is it legitimate? To me, that's a crazy question. Legitimate? I mean, we're still playing four rounds of seven-game series, only this time it's being played in a completely abnormal environment. I mean, guys are trying to ramp it up again after being off for 4 months with a small runway of regular season to get ready for the postseason. Who knows what the attrition will look like with COVID-19? Who knows what kind of personal issues players will have being separated from their families? So, Chris, I'm with you in that, you know what? Throw the asterisk away unless we're saying that was unlike anything we've ever seen before. Asking them to win a championship under those conditions may even be tougher than doing it under quote-unquote normal conditions. Right? I mean, the NBA season is generally a marathon. It isn't a marathon. This is a race against Usain Bolt with javelins being thrown at you along the way. So to me, unless attrition in the NBA takes out the 12 biggest stars, God forbid, unless that happens, and maybe even if, I'm looking at this as like, this is as Herculean a task as we've asked any sports league to try to embrace. We encourage you to stay on the phones with us. 888-SAY-ESPN. Will you view this NBA championship as having an asterisk next to it? We also remind you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon, download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Another big story today coming out of the D.C. area in the NFL. 87 investment firms and shareholders have approached Nike, FedEx, and PepsiCo. That's the company who makes the soft drink Pepsi. Asking them to sever ties with the Washington Redskins unless they change their name. The franchise has used the name Redskins since 1933. Groups have tried to unsuccessfully get the franchise to change its name in court cases. Team owner Daniel Snyder has said as long as he owns the team, he will never change the name. Stephen A. says, you know what? Daniel Snyder will change the team's name if one big thing happens.
The fact of the matter is if Nike, FedEx, and PepsiCo elect to pull their support of the Redskins franchise, unless Dan Snyder is going to change the name, then he will change the name because it's about money. It's always been about money, and that's the reality of the situation. We could call Dan Snyder insensitive. We can call him a lot of different things because of his refusal to change the name, but we can't do that by avoiding to discuss reality. The reality is that he thought having the name would be financially beneficial to him, and as a result of that, because of the marketability of the quote-unquote Washington Redskins brand, it would affect his bottom line if he changed it. That's why he didn't do it, and that's why he's held on to it so doggedly. Now, we can lament the fact that money mattered to him to that degree that he wasn't willing to compromise in the interest of sensitivity and beyond, but nevertheless, that's the reality of the situation. And so because we see that, you know, these firms consisting of 87 different companies worth $620 billion have penned a letter with signatures on it demanding that he change this name or they're going to pull their support and they're going to try to encourage Nike, FedEx, PepsiCo, and others to do so as well, that will be the impetus necessary to provoke Daniel Snyder to make the change that a lot of us feel he should have made years ago. Even Charles Mann, a former player for the Washington Redskins, that was, you know, he was there before Daniel Snyder ever took over ownership when Jack Kent Cooke was owning the team. And my friend, the late, great George Michaels, God rest his soul, had interviewed Jack Kent Cooke and talked about the need to change the name or whatever. And Cooke was adamant. He isn't doing a damn thing to change it. Charles Mann went on the air and said, hey, the fact that it affects one person of Native American descent should be all that we need in order to change this name. If it's offensive to them, it should be offensive to us. And it still was an incentive for the predecessor to Daniel Snyder to change the name. So Daniel Snyder adopted the same mentality because he had been convinced that it would be against his financial interest to do so. Now it seems that people are highlighting and illuminating for him it will be against his financial interest to keep the name. So you're probably right, Max. The change will probably come. I'm just making the point. That is what it will take. It ain't going to be a heightened level of sensitivity. It ain't the times that we're living in or anything like that. It comes down to
well,
the
that's
dollar.
That's why the and companies are behaving this
the street
way,
Stephen. Protesting today. Hold on. We heard you. We heard you. I got it. But the point is, people are in the streets right now protesting and stuff like that. Let's not forget, it's going to come back to the dollars and cents. That is what is going to incentivize and provoke change, not sentiments or sensitivities. Dollars. Unfortunately, that's the reality.
That's what affects the dollars.
Well, listen, we all know that Daniel Snyder is a billionaire. Okay, you don't become a billionaire by making rash or stupid decisions. Man has built a tech empire, and that translated to him buying the Washington Redskins. So for him, it always comes back down to dollars and cents and money. And it doesn't matter if the Washington Redskins aren't exempt from this. We see it in all types of industry, in our industry, other television industries as well. Once the ad people, once people start coming at you from that perspective, pulling their dollars directly funnels into your team, it's going to force your hand. And Dan Snyder knows this, okay? Yes, we live in a volatile era where a lot of things are going on right now, a lot of things are being said, but at the end of the day, if the money is not being affected, change is really not going to be affected. But once you start taking dollars away from an enterprise like the Washington Redskins, guess what? Heads are going to turn, people are going to take notice, and change is going to happen. So listen, I agree that there's a lot of sentiment. There's been a lot of sentiment going on for years about the Washington Redskins need to change their names. But it wasn't until this moment now when we're seeing all of these heavyweight companies talking about withholding ad dollars to the Washington Redskins, where now there is serious impetus about the Washington Redskins changing their names. And again, I'm going to go back to what Stephen A. said. It goes back to dollars and cents.
Damian Woody joining the conversation this morning on First Take. And regardless where you stand on the issue, that's what it comes down to. I mean, the bottom line is, if these major Fortune 50 companies start pulling ad dollars, a change is going to happen. It's as simple as that. By the way, keep in mind the Redskins play at FedEx Field. So if FedEx pulls out, again, you can follow the money trail and see exactly where this is going to go. Redskins reporter John Keim is going to join us later in the show to give us further perspective on that topic. We're asking you the question right now on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. Kevin Connors in for Jason Fitz. Will this year's NBA champion have an asterisk next to it? Justin from Massachusetts. Justin, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we had a caller earlier, and I both said, no way. This may be as tough as it gets. Surely you agree with us, Justin, right?
I absolutely agree. I think no matter what, there's going to be asterisks around the season because teams that didn't have players that are healthy are now fully healthy, and now they're going to have them being able to play in the playoffs. And they had all this time off, and some teams were able to work out. Like, I know the Lakers were, the Sixers were. Teams were able to work out when other teams weren't. So I think there's absolutely going to be an asterisk. And especially if a guy like LeBron James or even like from Boston, Jason Tatum, if any of them test positive and the virus somehow gets into the bubble, there's going to be asterisks for that reason.
Well, and of course, that's the great fear on so many levels, right? I mean, obviously, player safety is the number one, player and personnel safety, the number one issue here. And let's be just totally honest about numbers here. I read it off the top of the show. 25 players now, 25 of 351 have now tested positive for coronavirus. What's going to happen when everyone's in there in this bubble together and there's people at the Disney resorts interacting with individuals, bringing room service to their rooms, bus drivers bringing these players from the hotels into the arenas? What's going to happen under those conditions? Who knows? But asking in the course of a 2-3 month period, asking teams after 4 months off to ramp up and play in what is, in effect, an NCAA tournament or AAU type run league. You know, initially I said, of course we're going to look at this differently. It's not going to be the same. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be probably even harder after a four-month layoff. We continue to encourage you to get on the phone lines. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at Progressive.com. Coming up, how is Major League Baseball handling its coronavirus testing? We will chat about that next. But first, summer means cool drinks from your fridge, beach towels from your dryer, and ice cream sandwiches in the freezer. The Home Depot can help you make those memories with special buys on the latest appliances, and you can get your new appliances delivered free. So start summer here, the Home Depot, how doers get more done. How is Major League Baseball handling its coronavirus testing with players back at their respective stadiums? We will chat about that coming up next. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. As we get ready for 4th of July weekend, and we certainly hope that you are able to enjoy the 4th and the weekend with family and friends, and you do so in a very safe way. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, all guests on the program today join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're asking you the question, will this year's NBA champion have an asterisk next to it? 888-SAY-ESPN. It ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Will this year's NBA champion have an asterisk next to it? And we've kind of been sharing our opinion here. Look, for me, getting back out there after a four-month layoff and saying, hey, guys, you got about 15 games to get ready for the playoffs, the most grueling run that you'll have during the entire season. 15 games, that's not that long a time. And, oh, by the way, you're going to be doing it in a bubble. We all know players are creatures of habit. It's a totally different circumstance for these guys. Not being around family, needing to take all the precautions that there are. Tobias Harris was on First Take earlier in the week. He said, guess what? It's going to be on my mind when I'm on the floor. How does that impact the way Tobias Harris and the other 350 players in the NBA actually go about playing on the floor? Guys taking charges as much as they used to? Or guys laying out, sliding on the floor? Bodying guys up defensively? But again, after a four-month layoff, to gear up for a postseason run, four rounds of seven-game series under these conditions, you can put an asterisk next to it if you want, but in my opinion, this is going to be as tough maybe as anything that's ever been asked in the history of the NBA. We'll chat more about the NBA in a minute. First, Major League Baseball. Boy, it's so good to see those snippets on SportsCenter of players back in their respective batting cages gearing up for the Major League season, which is going to be starting up here, God, in about 3 weeks now, all things should they go according to plan. And we're so happy to be joined by one of the most informed reporters in all of Major League Baseball, our pal Marley Rivera. Marley, it's great to talk to you again. Kevin Connors here on ESPN Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin, and thank you for the very, very kind words.
Well, it's all very true. So, Marley, you know, in speaking with that and knowing how in touch you are with players around the league, I'm curious to know what's the most consistent theme that you've heard from players about returning as it relates to their safety?
Kevin, I would say the number one thing related to safety is how they have to hold each other accountable, right? One of those things that is going to be a very, very important topic this year is that Major League Baseball did, you know, they did come to this agreement with the union and this very, very extensive, you know, which they're calling the operations manual, which is well, you know, well over 100 pages, which all these details and everything that you have to follow and every single safety protocol that needs to be followed in the middle of this, you know, unprecedented pandemic. But at the same time, there's not going to be any policing here, which means that everyone has to be responsible for their behavior. And in this case, and what we're going through at this point, it's really, really, really important because of the nature of this virus, right? And not only your exposure exposes everybody else and it compromises, right, an entire team. So that is the number one concern that I hear. I've talked to a lot of players the last couple of weeks, and the number one concern they have is how everyone needs to be like the same level of responsibility.
ESPN MLB reporter Marley Rivera joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Marley, how about Major League Baseball's policy on announcing positive tests? What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, we're not surprised by that part, right? Because of the fact that, you know, we know generally that HIPAA law, you know, which is that, you know, the Health Portability Act, you know, that federal law that prevents people from disclosing personal health information without the authorization of the parties involved. And we reached out to Major League Baseball yesterday, and they provided us with a very, very, very simple and detailed statement at the same time, even though that sounds like an oxymoron. But at the same time, they said, you know, a COVID-19 positive test, you know, like the fact that it is not an employment-related injury. That is the way that they're not, you know, accounting for it, which means they don't have to disclose the name. And then the one thing is every player can decide whether to disclose that name. And then, of course, Kevin, we're going to hear from a lot of people, well, if you don't see a player for a couple of days, then you can assume that he's on this thing that they're calling the COVID-19-related injured list. But it's really not that simple. There's a lot of reasons why you could be on that list. Like, you could have been exposed and they're testing you. You could have some symptoms that are just a regular flu and that you're getting tested and so on. So it's going to be very, very difficult to actually know which IL, right, the injured list you're going to be put on, whether it's a legitimate baseball injury or whether you're in this COVID-19 list.
Just remarkable, remarkable time here.
Yes.
Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We're chatting with ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Marley Rivera. Marley, I'm going to ask you a question that I can't believe I'm going to ask you, but but it's germane to the conversation. How reluctant have some players been, because not everyone lives in the United States, reluctant have some players been to returning to the U.S. right now?
It's been interesting. There's I would say it's a 50-50 from what I have gathered, right? Obviously, I have spoken to quite a few players, especially a lot of the international ones, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans, a lot of the Spanish-speaking players, obviously, with me being a Spanish speaker. And some of them are greatly concerned, particularly the ones, and this is going to be interesting, the ones who live in Florida, right? Like, so it's just not even the external, like the international residents, even people who are in Florida, they're actually legitimately concerned, especially the players that have to come to New York, for example, with the Mets and the Yankees training camps happening here in New York City. And they're concerned about that. The ones that come from the Dominican and the ones that are flying from Asia, they are, you know, there's a degree of that the places where they are, it's been handled a lot better that maybe where they're joining, right? Like whatever state that they're going to fly into, they are a little bit concerned about this. Other players are not. Other players, for example, there are some places in the Dominican Republic that have not had, let's just say, a great response to the coronavirus pandemic. And that means that they really want to leave and they want to be in a very protected environment. But yes, there are certain concerns, and obviously the travel process, right? Like, workouts are supposed to start between tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, the 4th of July. But some players are not going to make it because there's a lot of travel issues and so on. But yes, there is definitely a concern of entering, you know, a place that still hasn't handled the pandemic.
Yeah, remarkable. Again, we're chatting with ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Marley Rivera. On the subject of COVID, Marley, and everyone speaking about, you know, being in close proximity with one another, Mets hitting coach Chili Davis is going about his job pretty differently. He's going to be working remotely. What can you tell us about that?
Well, today, there was a report late last night in the New York Post that this was going to happen. And today we had the opportunity to speak to Mets manager, his first-time manager, as we know, Luis Rojas, who has this job, in the fallout of the Astros sign-stealing scandal and Carlos Beltran being fired by the New York Mets. And so Luis Rojas spoke to us, to the media today, for the first time, actually, in a very, very long time. And he said precisely those words. He said, Chile will be working with us remotely. And a lot of us asked, you know, the follow-up, the logical one, which is, what are the challenges of your hitting coach, right, which is such a hands-on approach that we think about of not being at the stadium. And Rojas and Chile Davis just signed a two-year extension, right, with the Mets, and he was immediate impact for the Mets. I mean, this team went from being, you know, not one of the greatest in batting average to, like, 10th in baseball, tied with the NL champion Dodgers. So, obviously, Chile Davis had a great impact in this team, who's hitting now to 67. But at the same time, Chile is 60. Chile has some considerations and some, it's not even like a personal thing. He's also concerned about his family. So at this point, he's decided to be remote during the workouts. We actually don't know if the season does start, and we do start the 60-game season that is supposed to be an opening day program for July 23rd and 24th, then Chile maybe at some point will be at Citi Field. But it has been his choice, as we heard. Actually, this one was Chile's choice. We heard about the two Minnesota Twins coaches that were sort of not ordered by the team, but, you know, told that they really would prefer that these men that are in their mid-60s and late-60s do not show up in the ballpark because they are concerned about how they could be a little vulnerable. So it's interesting how these choices are going to continue to happen, Kevin, in this just unprecedented time. And it's incredible that this is what you and I are talking about today.
It is. And Martha, you know what else is incredible? The fact that Chile Davis is 60. I can't believe that that's the case. I can't believe
he's
60.
Man, I mean, it's incredible.
We're chatting with ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Marley Rivera. Marley, I want to get into baseball stuff here quickly in the remaining time that we have.
And imagine that, Kevin. Yeah, let's talk really, some baseball.
Exactly. One last question on the way out, Marley. Let's talk baseball. You know, we're talking about managers, and with all of the responsibilities that there are in terms of making sure players are doing things safely.
Yes.
What do you suppose the role of managers will be here in 2020?
It's been interesting, right? I had the opportunity to speak to almost all 30 managers during this time. And one of the things, we had a feature on ESPN.com come out a couple of months ago when this whole thing started, just shortly at the end of March. And one of the things that they were talking about is how reinventing this role, right? In the last couple of years, there's been a lot of discussion of how managers don't manage anymore, right? It is something that, you know, in the past, like Corey Lovello, who is now the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, he told me, you know, in the past, the manager was the judge, the jury, and the executioner, right? We think of those managers like that, and everything has changed. And managing is very different, right? People say, oh, they manage from the top down. It's managed from the front office. Talk about a time when things change. Talk about a time where, in, you know, personal, you know, relationship and how you deal and how you manage people, how much that matters. Because, you know, even though we're talking about, we're like, oh, let's chat baseball, but in the end, it's about managing expectations, managing the game, and managing behavior. So it's really interesting how it's not only about managing a baseball team. So it's going to be all these aspects. We joked with Aaron Boone 2 days ago that he's now, you know, a teacher, a psychologist, a health expert. Like, there's all these other sides of things that we never expected. But, Kevin, this is what we have to go through, right, in unprecedented times.
You're right. And you know what? And the bottom line is, if we don't, ain't going to be a season.
Yes.
I mean, that's
exactly.
That's...
So there has to be this first one, which is, you know, coming to your very, very wise and important first question, which is, what are the players concerned about? You know, it is personal responsibility, because if I am doing things right, and I am, you know, following all protocols and I am doing social distancing and I do everything, and then I go out one night to go hang out in a club because I'm 23 years old, right? And I'm a talented baseball player. And this is what I want to do, to let off some steam. And letting off steam in sports is very important, right? But in this time, it's 3 months. Just suck it up. Stay in your room, you know, just don't be outside, and protect everybody, because your behavior affects everyone else.
Well said. Boy, fantastic insight, Marley. It's great to hear your voice again, and I look forward to seeing you out there in a stadium at some point, hopefully this season, if not sooner than that. Marley Rivera.
Yes, Kevin, thank you. I just don't want to see you over Zoom.
Exactly. No more Zoom calls, right?
No more Zoom calls, please.
Marley Rivera, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
Marley Rivera joining us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Coming up on ESPN Radio, more of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. Will there be an asterisk attached to this year's NBA champion? Plus, can Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid lead the Sixers to a title? We'll get into that next. First Take, Your Take. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio. It's First Take, Your Take. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News, and just call out to your smart speaker and say, play ESPN Radio. We'll come on. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Phone lines have been busy. We're asking you at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Will there be an asterisk attached to this year's NBA championship? We'll get back to the phone lines in just a minute. First, Max and Kendrick Perkins had a little back and forth on that. Is it going to be legitimate, whoever wins this year's NBA title?
People have always had to deal with stuff off the court, and they have to focus on the court. That's always been the case. But the likelihood of multiple incidents of family members, et cetera, is higher now because of the pandemic. Perk, to your point about home court, really what you're saying is it requires mental toughness to do all that stuff, but what do you play the whole season for home court for? Like the Bucks or a team like that that's built home court, they get that stripped away. So yeah, maybe Giannis is right. In fact, from that point of view, it's not as much of an advantage to play as well as the Bucks have all season this year. But that doesn't make it a greater accomplishment if you win. It may mean that a team without as good a record that didn't have home court is advantaged by that.
Yes, it do, Max. Because the Bucks average at home, they beat people by average margin of 15 points. So, yes, it do. It do. He's right. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but if some team's playing the Bucks that would have been at a disadvantage, now all of a sudden they're not at a disadvantage. That's, if it's harder for the Bucks, it's got to be easier for someone else.
Max and Kendrick Perkins debating this morning. And again, the question that they asked on First Take, which I'm just not crazy about, is will this year's NBA champion be legitimate? I mean, if everyone is showing up, and all the teams who qualify for the playoffs have all their guys, I don't care if they play a quarter of basketball. It's legitimate. So now to ask, after a four-month layoff, to ramp it up again, get ready for 4 7-game series, and try to win a championship, is that legitimate? I mean, what's more legitimate than that? And again, as we've talked about, who knows what the attrition is going to look like? Who knows how players are going to deal with being in this bubble, this insulated bubble, a totally abnormal time? How they're going to play with all of the concerns of this disease that's caused a virus that's caused a worldwide pandemic? How are they going to react to all that? But in a sprint, which this essentially amounts to, gearing up to try to win a championship in this bubble environment, playing the best teams in the league. Again, is it going to be different from other years? You're darn right it's going to be different. Is it going to be harder than other years? I've done a 180 on that. At first I said, it absolutely is. Coming up next, how will Cam fit in with the Patriots? We'll get to that next, ESPN Radio.